Oh, Tuesday, honor offline, you blow my mind. Hey, Tuesday. Hey, 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 Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday, you're so witty, help me understand what's new in the tech world or what's coming soon and planned. Oh, Tuesday, you're so witty, help me understand. It's shows like you, Tuesday. Offline tools today, rules today. Let's start the show today.
Woo!
Welcome to Tuesday, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we have a special guest, Gregor Martinez. Say hello.
Hello.
So today, this is the part where we all say at the same time. So today we're talking about
offline
web tools. Never worked, ever. I'm really excited about the topic today because it's something I'm super interested in, but I have zero experience with. And that's why we brought Gregor on to tell us all about offline first.
Because we have no idea.
Yep. So if you will introduce yourself a little bit, that would be great for the folks at home.
All right. Hello there, folks at home. I am a web developer. I love the open source community in general. I am a contributor to Hoodie, which is an open source project in the whole offline first sphere. And I am a co-founder at a company called Neighborhoodie, with which we do like offline first consulting and products and workshops. And yeah, like our company is based in Berlin, but I work remotely from Boston.
Nice. How is it there?
Today, because it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Oh, special birthday tool today.
Just for you. No, the sun came out. It's finally warm and Google tells me it will stay warm. So after all, I think Boston learned what spring means. Because I just moved here last summer. I haven't been here for spring, and it was very disappointing.
Well, I mean, if Google says so, then it must be so.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I'm born in Poland, okay. So my family's Polish, but I grew up mostly in Germany, and I moved around a lot with my wife. So last 5 years, we lived in Zurich in Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, wow.
My parents live about an hour away from there. They live in Lausanne.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's French speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of very nice places. But yeah, I'm in Boston now, and this summer we moved to LA.
Sweet. So sort of back to offline first, what is it? What is this idea of offline first development?
So offline first is an approach to build applications without making any assumptions of the connectivity of the device that your application is running on. So pretty much it means that your app should always provide the best possible experience, no matter if you're connected to the internet or not, or if it's a flaky, unreliable connection, or kind of it should provide a very seamless experience between a good and a bad connection at all times.
So is this more for websites, web apps, or both?
Not really. I mean, I think mostly the most interest is coming from the web development, but native applications are the same. Like when you use an application which simply just stops working because, I don't know, you, for example, like a tweet and then it just doesn't respond and it doesn't make any sense to you and it might be related because the internet connection is flaky, that is a bad offline experience. And the whole idea about offline first is to make, to kind of hide away, abstract away the connectivity of your app. And be smart about like caching data locally, for example, and syncing whenever then connectivity is available to do that.
So whenever I think about this, there must be a lot of new sort of UI implications and thought process behind how do you provide a good experience when you can't access new data?
It really depends on the application that you have. Usually, you can differentiate between three cases, really. Either you cache data locally, which is read-only, and then you can prefetch data, for example. Let's say you read a newspaper and your application could prefetch the most, like 10 most read articles of the day. And even if you're offline, it can't, you know, show you everything, but it can at least show you some data of it. Another use case is, for example, collecting data. So you want to cache data locally and synchronize it later to the server. So it's kind of write-only. then you can just go around with a form on your tablet, for example, collect some data, and when you're back to the internet, it can push it online.
Okay, and cool. Then, so like, it's like Pocket is an example of this.
Yeah, for example, Pocket is a great example where you can say, hey, I want this article, you know, to be available for me to read offline, and it will download it.
Huh. Cool. Okay, the first time I heard of offline first was, I think, 2 years ago when Jake Archibald, I think his name is, gave a talk about service workers at JSConf. Are service workers kind of the main tech venue for this, or what's, how do people implement offline first?
Yeah, I think like Jake Archibald is kind of one of the main person who promotes the idea of offline first a lot because of his work in the early days with Application Cache.
Right, AppCache.
And, you know, yeah. He wrote this nice article, Application Cache is a douchebag. Also, happy birthday, Jake. Jake has the birthday on the same day as I do.
Oh my gosh, what an exciting day for the offline first community.
Yeah, it's big day in the offline first community. So I would say Service Worker is kind of the new hot library technology available to us. But you have to differentiate between two main things. For one, there is the application assets, like the actual code. Think you go to the app store, you download your app, then your application is offline. Or you use Service Worker, you can say, download all my HTML, JavaScript, CSS, and the application works offline. And the other aspect of offline first is data, which is treated entirely differently. And for that, Service Worker can help you, but like Service Worker is more in the field where it helps you kind of download the app skeleton if you want so.
Right.
And then you need other tools to be able to download data, to store data offline, and to sync it if you need it.
What are those tools for that data layer when you're doing offline web apps?
So for data layer, if you have a simple use case, like I said, you know, for something like just reading news offline where you just want to cache it, you can use like local storage is the most simplest thing. You know, it's native, it's since IE8, you can just use it, it's a key value store. Or there is WebSQL, IndexedDB, and things like that. That makes it very, very simple.
But How much memory is allotted? Just wondering in local storage.
Local storage usually is 5 megabyte, but because it's, I think, stored in 16-bit, it's really just 2.5 megabyte.
Oh,
so it's
really?
Good enough for, yeah.
I did not know
it's good
that.
Enough for text, but it's not really, you know, possible to store any binary data. Like as soon as you want to cache like images offline, then you will run out of storage.
So that's why Pocket only has the article view offline by default. It's just the text. It kind of takes out all the images. That makes sense now.
Yeah, most likely. Or I think it just probably scales down images and stores them in smaller resolutions. But this is, for example, already like offline first thinking.
Yeah.
Where you say like, we cannot download 2 megabyte images, but we can, you know, download a very simple version of it. So yeah, that's for data layer. For maybe one very important, I think, technology in the whole syncing is CouchDB. CouchDB is a database by itself, a key value, like a document-based database. But CouchDB's main feature is that it replicates, meaning you can have 2 or 3 or 1,000 CouchDB nodes, which can be physically separated, and they can all sync with each other at all times and can handle conflicts. And this is exactly what you need for offline first applications. And you can separate the API of CouchDB, which provides the replication, and re-implement it. And because of that, we have like SDKs for Android or iOS. And there is a project called PouchDB, which is a JavaScript re-implementation of CouchDB, which allows you to not only store data in the browser very nicely and abstracts away, you know, like IndexedDB and WebSQL and whatever is available. It also provides the master-to-master replication with CouchDB. And I think this is the best technology available today for full data synchronization of apps.
PouchDB, and it works in sync.
PouchDB.
Yeah. The database is with a C, CouchDB.
Right.
And the PouchDB is like a kangaroo pouch.
I like that analogy.
To clarify for me, so you, this assumes you have a CouchDB layer running at some point, and then under app itself, you run the PouchDB to interface with the CouchDB?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So sort of just a layer on top.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so like an interface layer, cool. All right, so if I want to get started from scratch, I know that I want to make an offline web app. What would you recommend for just creating this thing that I have in my head?
Yeah, what is the hello world offline apps?
Yeah.
I think really the most simplest thing you can do just to play around with it is to use local storage and application cache. Like application cache is very, very simple. You have like one text file where you kind of list all the assets you want to be available offline. You reference it in your index.html file, and that's it. Like your browser, all modern browsers will do that, will download all the assets, and from then on, your page will work no matter if it's connected to the internet or not. And for data, just use local storage. And for very simple applications, this is all you need to do to get started. And then early or later, you will see that App Cache will give you a lot of headache because it's simple, which is nice when it works. But when it doesn't, then it's big trouble. And this is where Service Worker is so much more powerful because it gives you full low-level control and JavaScript APIs. It doesn't do anything implicit. Everything is explicit. And it's very, very powerful and has a lot of use cases even beyond the offline first approach.
Would you recommend people not jump straight to Service Workers then? Stick with App Cache until it breaks and then move over?
No, I would say, if you're an experienced JavaScript developer, then I would say go right to Service Worker. I'm just thinking that local storage App Cache is just the most simplest thing just to experience it. Yes.
Okay, I know for our app, over at Bluemix, Yuna left us recently, but we're right now going through this process of integrating Service Workers and local storage into most of the app. Our performance is miserable, so one of the things we're working on is using
I think CouchDB is part of the Bluemix. I think that there is also a lot of involvement in CouchDB development, or like being compatible with CouchDB.
Right, yep.
Yeah, it's one of the services, I believe.
Yeah, there's a lot of great contributions from IBM, as far as I can tell, which is really great.
So tell us a little bit about Hoodie and what Hoodie can do for offline web apps.
So maybe to shortly explain the relation between Hoodie and offline first is I've built an application which works offline as a playground application around 5 years ago. And
early innovator right here.
Yeah. 5 years ago.
it's like one of these things. You're in between jobs and you want to see like what's new out there in technology. You want to learn new stuff. So I built a simple meeting application which used like Backbone 0.2 and App Cache and local storage, which just were new APIs back then. And I showed this to Jan Leonard, who is VP at Apache CouchDB, and he really liked how I used CouchDB to make this kind of architecture possible. And he suggested that we should abstract this away so that others can benefit from it. And this is what eventually became Hoodie. So Hoodie is an open source project, and it's a generic backend for offline first applications. So it's like you can use it, you can directly install it with NPM, it's built with Node. And then it behaves like a server, but it does not only serve assets, it also comes with its own database and a front-end API.
So it's using CouchDB as the database?
Yes. But it does not require CouchDB because there is like a drop-in replacement with CouchDB on a server side as well. Meaning we can emulate the CouchDB APIs, but only use CouchDB, which is great for local development because CouchDB requires an Erlang runtime environment, while CouchDB can just be installed with Node. So it makes it much, much simpler to get started. But in production, you want to use CouchDB. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Hoodie is sort of this abstraction layer, kind of like the jQuery of offline web apps, as it sounds like.
Yeah, you're not the first to say that. I mean, for kind of what jQuery is for the DOM, we like to think that jQuery is, that Hoodie is for the backend. Like Hoodie really, you kind of load the Hoodie client like you load jQuery, and all of a sudden you have a Hoodie object in your browser with methods like sign up or reset password or store data or like sync, for example. And nice. All these JavaScript methods kind of abstract away the backend for you so that you don't have to think about it. You don't have to think how it works. It just does. And when you look at its APIs to like store and find data, it doesn't tell anything about offline, really. It just does. Because the APIs in the front end, we can do all kind of magic still on your device, but behind the API. And this is how Hoodie stores all data on your device first and then synchronizes whenever it can.
So would you recommend somebody that wanted to get started try Hoodie first or try using like local storage and app cache first?
I think, of course, I'm biased. No, I think Hoodie is a great way to get started with this as well. Yeah. Like if you don't mind the magic, you know, if you don't mind to
love magic.
Like, well, I would like to differ because Meteor did the same thing where Meteor sort of gave you all this magic about here, just throw together this OAuth, make this app by typing a few lines of code. And I don't know, I personally didn't like that much magic.
Well, but I must,
backend is not something I'm very well versed in.
Well, I must say what we do different from Meteor is like Meteor tried to kind of invent everything themselves, like make the full package themselves. And we try to embrace existing technologies as much as we can. So when you look at the stack of Hoodie, it's kind of composed of other open source projects and very small modules. So it's much less magic there that Meteor has.
I think Meteor is stepping away from their whole holistic viewpoint.
You know, if they wouldn't have like 80 million or something in VC funding, they wouldn't have done it in the first place.
That's true. They did have a lot of capital to play with.
I don't know. I don't hear much about them anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, use Hoodie.
So are there examples of apps that use Hoodie right now?
There is, I mean, this minutes.io application that I've built 5 years ago, we eventually migrated to Hoodie. It is using Hoodie today. It's the biggest application that's using Hoodie at this point. Like Hoodie itself is not like super, it's not very stable yet. So we don't, it's like in a developer preview version right now. But so there are a few applications. There are a few applications that we built ourselves for customers. But there are not like big other applications that are using this at this point.
Cool. So there's still a lot of room for innovation, early adoption, and contributing because Hoodie is open source.
It is open source, and you know we really like new and existing contributors, and we go very, very far to make the experience of contributing to Hoodie as nice as possible.
How do you do that?
Well, that would be a whole different show. But we do a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah, Hoodie seems very community-focused. They sponsor a lot of conferences. There's such a big presence, especially in the JavaScript community.
We don't really sponsor it with money, but we have people who are co-organizing it. So that's
sneaky.
That's even better.
There is no, like, we don't have really money or anything. We don't have any funding. We don't want to. You want to figure it out in different ways. But yeah, I mean, there was recently an article on opensource.com, which kind of called Hoodie the, I think, the most diverse and most inclusive community.
Wow.
It was very nice.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, I will be at several, like an Empire.js, for example, and we'll talking about how we run Hoodie and the open source project and what we do to, you know, create and grow an inclusive community. Yeah, that's a whole different topic, though.
Cool. Like, another JavaScript community in New York is so great. Like, they have every single borough has their own JavaScript meetup. They all go to each other's meetups.
I think there's a hackathon a weekend in New York.
Yeah.
In Austin, there are no hackathons.
Like there zero. Is a hackathon next weekend.
There is
Chris,
one, which I'm already signed up to with the Civic.
I am too.
Okay,
we'll,
great.
We'll report after.
There is at I think the OSCON is next week,
yes.
And there will be a hoodie hackathon at OSCON Contribute. I will host it.
It will be like the 1 week I'm gone this month.
I will actually be at OSCON. There you go.
Actually, so all the listeners, you know, if you come to OSCON, please find me. I would love to chat and come to the hoodie hackathon on Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., I think.
I actually have a quick question for you. This is kind of a little bit of a segue. But, you know, there's also this a separate push for real-time applications and real-time databases. How do you marry that want with offline first?
When you look more into it, you will find out that the architectures are very similar.
Okay.
And for example, Hoodie or, you know, the underlying technologies that we use with CouchDB and the synchronization layer, it's near real time. Like as a user, you cannot really tell the difference.
Right.
Like it's perceived real time. When I change something on one device and I persistently, continuously save all changes, then it gets synchronized directly, and it's perceived as near real time.
Okay. Yeah, I've been recently pulled into RethinkDB, and so I was kind of curious how that fits into all of this architecture with offline first.
Real time. That's another great topic for a show.
Yeah. So if you think you can think that, I mean, CouchDB pretty much has something like sockets.
Right.
For its data synchronization.
Okay.
If you want to.
Yeah.
And then it continuously synchronizes it and you have a near real-time experience.
Okay.
Is that by default? Is it by default continuously synchronized, or is it only when you have the app open?
No, it's something that you need to start. So this is the replication. You can start the replication from one database to another database, be it, you know, to another database on your local device or a remote database. And you can say, I want to replicate just once, or I want to replicate continuously. And when you start a continuous replication, then it just remains open and every, you know, change you make will directly be replicated to the remote database at all times.
Okay, cool.
And this is what Hoodie does by default. So the way Hoodie behaves is, you know, you can use the app even without signing up, which is a nice benefit of offline first applications. So you have like this 100% conversation rates. And then once a user creates an account, then it starts synchronizing your data.
Cool. And that's all managed within Hoodie? Or
that's
how Hoodie uses Pouch?
This is how Hoodie is using Pouch, yeah.
Cool.
But it kind of hides away all these details from you, and it just works. And you kind of use the same APIs with the difference, and all of a sudden, your data is on all your devices from which you sign in to your account.
Sweet. So we are kind of running out of time in this show, but before we end, I want to ask you two questions. The first is, do you have any advice or tips for people getting started with offline web apps?
We have a website, offlinefirst.org, where you should go, and we link a few resources there, and we also want to use it more in future to engage more of the community, to gather other resources. There is an offline camp which we are organizing just now. It will happen in June 24, 22nd and in the woods somewhere in New York State in a beautiful building. And there are still a few spots available. So you can sign up on offlinefirst.org/camp. Check it out. It looks really nice. It will be very nice.
Cool. So offline first, no dashes, just offlinefirst.org.
Offlinefirst.org, yeah.
That's where you can get all of the information. Any more resources that people should know about?
Just a newsletter that is also on offlinefirst.org that you should subscribe to. We send out a very nice newsletter every month with all the new stuff happening in Offline First World.
Sweet. So yeah, go to offlinefirst.org, check out their events. If you're here for OzCon, there will be a hackathon. That Gregor is putting on hackathon, right? Or is it sort of like a workshop?
It's a hackathon, yeah.
Okay, cool. Lots of things coming up. Hopefully you too can contribute to all of this craziness. Would love to see more offline first apps. I know that Google uses Flipkart as an example. of an offline first app. That's a marketplace in India where they try to leverage as little data as possible for offline sales, really. So that's a really cool app that is an example also of offline first. Check out Local Storage, App Cache, check out Hoodie if you want all of that bundled up for you. And one more announcement before we end the show. We are going to have a show coming up where we take your favorite little known tech tools and we want to highlight some of your suggestions for the show. So send us a tweet or a direct message. Our DMs are open and we'd love to hear about other tech tools that we might not know about. So yeah, our Twitter handle is at Toolsday, TOOLSDAY. And yeah, feel free to send us messages. Thank you so much, Gregor, for coming on the show. It's been great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, that was so many words. I have to wrap it up somehow. Yeah, this is great. I am so excited to dive into Hoodie. I have an idea for an app that I want to build. So we'll see how that goes.
Awesome. Please let me know. I'm happy to help you out with anything that will come up.
Cool. I will. And hopefully you and Chris get to meet at OSCON.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. See you there.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.